following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
All right, good morning again. And welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. Glad that you're here. I'm happy to be here. My name is Eric. I am the pastor here at Emmanuel Covenant Church. And we're continuing today in our Same Passage, Five Ways series. So we've been looking at, since the beginning of August, this verse, Micah 6:8. It's right there. I do have it memorized, but then I put myself on the spot. And He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So we've been hearing now for 3 weeks. Today is the fourth. Next Sunday will be the fifth. From different folks in different areas of ministry, different churches, different contexts, different histories, all of that, how God is speaking to them through this verse specifically, and then how God is using them to speak to us as a church, as Emmanuel. So I'd encourage you, if you haven't been here, or even if you have been here for the last 3 weeks, to go to our website and check out the 3 previous weeks that are all up there from Leah, from Rich, and from Reed. And then this one will be up there Tuesday, and Brady's will be up there eventually as well. But it's a great way to see how God is speaking to us using this one verse and many different people. I have to admit, I was a little bit fearful in the beginning, and that was, I guess, reinforced by some folks that I talked to who said, oh, wow, that's cool that you're doing the Same Passage, Five Ways thing, but it's just one verse. Huh, all right. And they thought, well, you know, is that going to get old? Is that going to be too much? Is that, you know, or is it going to be the same thing every week? And I have been pleasantly surprised that it hasn't been at all. It has been, there have been some similarities, certainly, but we've heard different things from different people week after week. And I think that's really the case for two reasons. Number one is that God's word is living and breathing. And continues to speak to us where we are, continues to speak to us from people where they are, and engages us continually through those different voices. And the second reason is really because this verse is at the heart of what God says all throughout the Bible, right? We see this from Genesis through Revelation, this being what God is asking of his people. And now I've done it to myself, and I've jumped way ahead, and so I'm going to kind of try to wrangle myself back a little bit. But for me, this has been really cool. It's been an awesome opportunity to really dig into this one verse and to hear the way that Scripture continues to speak through different people, through different experiences, through different circumstances. I bet if we were to look at the same verse using these same five people a year from now, it would be different. Not because God's word changes, but because God's word changes us. Because we are different as we engage in the word of God. Every time I kind of get into that and get excited about that, I get all worked up and like, and have to, okay. And now it's my turn with this verse. And I was actually a little bit happy when Brady said, you know, the last week works best for me, because that gave me, you know, one, like I got to do it 1 week earlier. You know, I was the good host and didn't do the first one and let other people take, you know, some of the ones that were earlier on, and they didn't have to like try to grasp for things, or there wasn't all, everything had been said yet. But Brady said the last one was his, so I get to do this fourth one, and I'm excited. And I myself was a little bit anxious initially. And then as people talked and as people spoke and as people preached this verse, got more and more excited about it getting to be my opportunity. Because I love this verse. I love what God is saying to us here. And I love what God is saying to Emmanuel here. So I'll primarily be looking at Micah 6:8 because it would be kind of wrong if I didn't, but have a couple other references. So if you want to get out your Bible or Bible app, this verse is on the screen, so you can just read it there too, which is fine. But if you don't have a Bible and would like one, please raise your hand. One of our ushers will be happy to bring you one, and you can keep it if you would like. It's one of the great joys of our church family. So let me pray for us this morning, and we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for bringing each of us here this morning, here to support one another as we walk with your Son, Jesus, here to worship you, and here to learn more from your living word. We pray together, God, that you would be with us this morning, that we would feel your presence among us as we worship you. And God, we pray all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. He has shown you, O humankind, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So if you've been here every week in August to this point, you've heard this read at least 12 times and heard it sung 4, now 5 different times. I bet you could recite it from memory, but I'm not going to put you on the spot. Although maybe you can like practice and show off to one another afterwards. And so as much as the purpose of this, and I think one of the great values in this series, has been to see how God is speaking through the Bible to us using different people and different voices and different circumstances, it has also been a really incredible opportunity for us to get to know one passage, one verse, really, really well. Spending this kind of time on Micah 6:8 has allowed us to look at the history of Micah, the history of what's going on with the Israelites here. We've heard about the form that this section takes. We've learned terms like major and minor prophets. And so now this is our fourth week, and we'll even have a fifth week to dig deeply into this one verse in the Bible. And it still is speaking to us. And like I said, it's speaking to us continually because it's the Word of God. And because this is at the heart of what God wants from his people. To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. This isn't just a one-off verse that gets spoken and then left alone. This isn't something that is said once to the Israelites, just as a word from the prophet Micah. It is something that is repeated over and over and over, as one of the most important overarching themes in all the Bible. There's parallels throughout the Old Testament and the New. Parallels in the laws in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Parallels we read in the history books. Parallels through the prophets. And for me, that's one of the really incredible things about the Bible, is the way that the promise of God and what God wants from his people is woven all throughout Scripture. And this demand from God continues through his Son, Jesus. When asked what the greatest commandment is in Matthew 22:36-40, Jesus replies, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." That sure sounds a whole lot to me like walk humbly with your God, do justice, and love mercy. Not exactly the same, but it certainly is there together. These words from Micah resonate all throughout Scripture. These demands, these requirements, the commandments from God to God's people, they carry through. And they are called just that. They're requirements for a reason. They aren't simple suggestions. They aren't just pleasant observations. They are requirements. The Hebrew word actually means seeks with requirement. It's the form that word takes, seeks with requirement, that we do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. And so as we've been reading together, we've heard and we've read different versions, we've heard songs, we've been able to see some of the different word choices that translators have used. There's little differences here and there, but one of the constants has really stood out to me. One common translation one thing common in translation that I found in all of the translations I looked at, but also as I did the work and translated myself. And it stood out to me because the song that I know best that has actually been the background music to our passing of the peace, and we heard it the very first Sunday, translates it differently. And I know that songs aren't necessarily like the thing you go to for accurate biblical translation, but it stood out because that was, you know, that was what was in my memory as what this verse is. And so in the song, it speaks of loving justice and showing mercy. But that's just not a good translation. It's not at all. And it really does a disservice to the message Micah is trying to convey. Every other translation, and the word itself, is an action word. It is the to-do verb, to act justly, to do justice. That's in the ESV, the NASB, NRSV. The message has to do what is fair and just. King James is to do justly. It's an action to do verb. And maybe that seems like a small difference. Love justice versus do justice. But the Hebrew is really clear there. It is an action of doing. And so we can't ignore that. We can't ignore that God is calling us not to just love justice, to love what is right, to love what is good, but to do it, to act out justice, to do justice. Now, I see almost daily on my Facebook wall different versions of what people are doing or how they are loving justice. And that's easy to do and easy to act out on Facebook or by sharing emails or sharing news articles or that kind of thing, to celebrate those things that are good and celebrate those things that are right. Most of the talk recently on my Facebook wall has been about the couple of shootings that were in Missouri. People calling for justice. People calling out others for injustice. In the States, this is very much about the injustice of racism. The thing is, those things on Facebook end up changing almost weekly, sometimes daily, what people are calling out as injustice or calling for justice for. Because it's an easy and right now a relatively safe thing to do on Facebook to just share something that you agree with. Like, yeah, and I'm standing up for justice. Maybe. Maybe. Unfortunately, for most, and I'll lump myself in that category too, that's often where it ends. Sharing articles, stories, blogs, opinion pieces, personal experiences even, that relate with some degree with the current injustice. And then that's it. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound much like an action word. Doesn't sound a whole lot like doing justice. Doesn't sound a whole lot like doing anything except a little click. That may be viewing justice as important enough to speak about, important enough to share information about, but important enough to do anything about, I don't know. And I think that's where we as a church really have to take stock of what we are doing in terms of justice and mercy here in our community and globally. Are we acting in a way, are we doing anything in a way where people see us as making a real difference in the world? Making a real difference to those that are marginalized in our society? Do we know who the marginalized are in our society? Maybe we do. But what are we doing about it? Rich mentioned a couple weeks ago that there has been kind of a disconnect with Emmanuel and their interaction with the Compassion, Mercy, and Justice initiatives and missions initiatives with the conference and with the denomination. The Canada Conference and the Covenant Denomination are doing some really incredible things in those areas here in North America and globally. The Covenant has a number of different racial righteousness things that that I know don't necessarily translate in the same way to Canada. But they also will go to places like Haiti after you know, the natural disasters there, and other places, and they will be on the front lines of supporting folks there. World Relief Covenant goes into these places right away, and they develop opportunities to rebuild those societies. So there's resources, there's papers, Bible studies. Most important, there are service trips and missions trips and giving opportunities that all help churches and individuals do justice. I know there's a fear when it comes to talking about justice, when it comes to doing justice, that there's just so much, right? There's so much injustice in the world. There's so many people who are hurting. There are so many people without water. There are so many people who are fighting against injustice, that how can we possibly make a difference? It can be paralyzing. And that's where we, as a church, have to encourage each other to just take a step in faith, to follow our Lord Jesus, and to care for those who need help. We don't have to do everything, but we have to do something. Lorna was trained a number of years ago by the Advocates of Victims of Abuse Training Center. What an awesome opportunity we have as a church to use that as a resource to care for victims of abuse. We have someone who's trained to do that here at our church. Part of the reason we put on Harsh Realities last year was to speak to the justice issues of drugs and gangs right here in our neighborhood. We are working and kind of continuing to build a partnership with the Realistic Success Recovery Society, supporting that organization as they help get men clean and healthy. We financially support Operation Baby Bottle every year. A couple of those things do end up being church-wide, and most of those are expected, I guess, to be, or hoped to be church-wide. And the reality is that they haven't been, for probably a number of reasons. But I do hear from person after person, folks from their teens all the way up through their 60s and 70s and 80s, that we need to be doing more for our community. We need to be doing more for the individuals in our community, supporting folks we meet who need help with food or clothing or shelter. We can easily partner with some of the fantastic organizations in our community that are doing some of that frontline work. It's not up to us to reinvent the wheel. There's organizations that are doing incredible work. Maybe they need financial support from us. Maybe they need volunteer hours from us. Maybe they have a project that we can go and do. But if we're not willing to step out and do that and identify those things, then we're not doing anything. You know, one example that keeps popping up, and I know some folks as individuals have gone and done this, but what would it look like if we took a day a month, and I guess not, couldn't be all year, but maybe it can, I don't know a whole lot about farming, but to go to God's Little Acre, which is like literally just, you know, just the other side of the hill, a farm that supplies food banks, and pick vegetables or weed or do whatever manual labor needs to be done. What would it look like for more people to get involved with places like the Realistic Success Society? What would it look like for more than a car full, or two cars fulls, or three cars full of people to go together out to Teen Challenge, to worship with them, to support them as they get clean from drugs or alcohol or other addictions? And then there's also opportunities that we can take to care for people throughout the world. And so that's why I threw up the Covenant Kids Congo slide. That's one of the things that the Covenant is doing. The States has their thing and we have ours because there's those pesky giving laws and stuff. So Canada I set the goal of 200 kids sponsored, and doing things like schools and water and basic necessities that these kids need in the poorest province in the poorest country in the world. I checked this morning, and so far to date, the Canada Conference has sponsored 197, different churches in the Canada Conference have sponsored 197 of those 200 children. Rich said 2 weeks ago, it's not too late. We could be those last three. Like, we could put the conference over their goal, Or maybe someone else beats us to the punch, and great, we end up being 201, 202, 203. I don't think those kids are going to be upset. So if this is something that you, as an individual, as a family, as a Bible study, as a prayer group, want to do, come ask me. I can get you the details. Be super easy to do. But what an awesome opportunity to partner with what God is doing in the world through our very own denomination and our very own conference. There are just, these are just some ways that we can do justice. There's lots more. So being a part of what God is doing through Justice and Mercy Ministries here at Emmanuel, here in the Lower Mainland, in the world, is something that you're really passionate about, is something that you want to participate in, come and talk with me. Let's begin doing something together. This isn't something we can take lightly. It isn't something we can just talk about. It's not something we can just say is important. Micah tells us, God tells us, that this is what the Lord requires of us, to do justice. How are we going to respond to that requirement from God? Heavenly Father, we recognize that sometimes we spend too much time and energy thinking about and talking about justice and not enough doing. God, we pray today for this hurting world. We pray for the people of Missouri. We pray for the people in Israel and in Palestine. We pray for the people of Iraq. God, there's so much hurting in this world. There's so much pain. God, help us as we walk humbly with you to be a part of doing justice and showing mercy to those that are hurting. Help us to be your hands and feet in this world. Your world, God. We pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.